Blog Talk Radio.
We love you guys. Oh, wrong cue. Sorry about that. Hey, everybody. How you doing? Good evening. This is Rob. This is Spotlight. This is Rob Thrasher and
Deb
and Spot.
Deb and Spot. Rob, Deb, and Spot. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Very good. I want to remind everybody to call in tonight. If you get a chance, you can come to our site. You can go to the chat room if you're too shy to talk. We're not, so we'll do a lot of the talking. Don't forget
there,
to call us in. Call in at 646-478-4353. Once again, that's 646-478-4353. Or you can come search for Spotlight, Spotlight on Success. You can search for anything we're spotlighting on Blog Talk Radio. You're probably going to find us.
Very cool.
Don't forget, right? You got to dial *70 before you dial the number. That will disengage your call waiting. And you won't annoy me. How's that? Okay. Call star.
That's our job.
Star.
No one annoy Rob.
Nope, because I'll get immediately distracted and forget about it. That's what'll happen.
There you go.
So *70-646-478-4353. Landlines are better. Cell phones are okay. Be honest with you, if you call us at all, we'll be really happy anyway. So who the heck cares what's going on? We're sitting, you guys aren't with me. I'm in my plush Midtown Manhattan offices looking out over the beautiful city of New York. We are in, I'm in the Eastern Zone, and where are you guys at? What are you guys doing?
Well, I'm down here by the lake. It's been raining.
Oh, you're in the lake office.
I'm in the lake office. I'll tell you what, Rob, it's been raining so much lately that the ducks are wearing ponchos. They
really?
Are sick of it. The geese started to come in, and they decided to abandon and not take over the home place, you know?
Yeah,
they're going
to
Florida.
Over there. Yeah, how's that ark coming along, by the way?
How's the what?
Yeah, sure. Building the ark?
Yeah,
oh,
they're
working on it still.
Yeah.
Well, they made it
we're
out of paper mache, and it disintegrated.
Okay.
I'm still trying to imagine the little ducks with their little coats and hats on. I think the Aflac duck did that, didn't he, one time?
Yeah, he
Aflac.
Did.
Well, Rob, I just need to ask you a key question before we really get started here.
Okay, what's going on?
Do you have your coffee?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I had
Rob
six for dinner.
There you go. Rob needs his coffee to put out the brush fire.
Coffee is a major food group, man. I'm telling you, coffee and fried bread.
Oh, you need to send him some res coffee, girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you what.
Is that good stuff?
Well, how's it on the res down there, girl?
Oh, yeah, you know, I was over visiting my auntie the other day. She said, hey, you got to have some fried bread and coffee. I'm like, okay. I'm like, is it done yet? So she grabbed a horseshoe, you know, and the horse was still attached. She threw it in there, and it was floating, so I knew it was ready.
There you go.
All right. You know what? I can't, actually, it's not even just coffee. I need some kind of caffeine. Could be Diet Dew, could be tea. Doesn't matter to me as long as there's caffeine in it.
Anything for a fire
keeps
break.
Keeps me on focus, right?
What?
Right, guys?
No, I'm telling you.
Keeps me on focus.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry, go ahead.
You go anywhere in Indian country, man, they're like, here, have some coffee. And you're like, okay, yeah, you know, and that stuff fights back. I'm telling you what.
Spot, you kind of sound like a Canadian a little bit, eh?
No, that's Lakota.
I'm Lakota. Reservation
Oh, wow.
Indian, huh?
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I may
What's
as well
going on
introduce
today,
Spot now. Yeah, I'm going to introduce Spot now.
Yeah,
she is going
it.
To
Let's
be our
it.
Buffalo Chips roving res reporter. Yes.
Yeah,
now,
throw me under the bus, yeah.
We're going to talk about some interesting stuff today. We're going to talk about Native American humor and Native American culture. And Spot's name is Julie Spotted Eagle Horse Martineau, and she is my sister through Unkapi, or the Making a Relatives ceremony, my Kuela. And
yep,
I'm Rikosei. Yes.
Nipa Tongse, yeah.
Kuela means younger sister. Tongse means older sister. I'm the older sister.
Yes.
I get to boss you.
She is missing.
Now, Julie was also a consultant on my book, Cedar Woman. I couldn't have done it without her. And it helped a lot because it helped a lot because Julie is resborn.
Yep.
I mean,
really?
Born on the reservation.
Yep. Yep.
Very cool.
Cut
off.
Julie, not the Rosebud Reservation, right?
Oh, hell no. What's wrong with you? We've had that conversation, yeah? I'm tired.
What is this about? Tell us
I'm from Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, you know, and we speak the Lakota language. You know, over there on Rosebud, them guys, they ain't right. They don't talk right. You know, over there, instead of putting another log on the fire, they put another dog on the fire because they're successful at that.
Oh, no. That's not good.
I got a couple uncles that are Dakota, you know. We have arguments over who doesn't talk right. Man, them
really?
Rosebud guys, they just aren't right, man. I'm telling you. Holy.
Wow. Quite a battle, huh?
Oh, yeah, you know, one of my cousins, he's from Rosebud, right? So we used to go to this Indian bar back up in Phoenix, South Dakota when we were still drinking, you know, and we went in there one night, and this guy's like, yeah, you know, because my cousin, you know, he likes to get drunk up and beat the snot out of people, and he's like, you know, there's this guy in the back room, he says, he'll just clean your clock. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. So it turns out this guy had gone up to Raft, talked to this guy that had like a traveling circus thing, and he had this gorilla that, you know, you'd pay him money if you could stay in the arena with this gorilla for like 5 minutes or something. So he thought he was going to get back at my cousin, so he goes and he borrows that gorilla. He puts him in the back room and sets my cousin back there, and about 5 minutes later, my cousin, you know in the cartoons when the door kind of falls flat on the floor? It's kind of
sure,
like that. Out comes my cousin dusting off his hands. He goes, man, he says, I don't know. He says, them Rosebud boys, you give them a new fur coat and they just think they're it.
Well, you keep talking to me a lot about dog soup. Heck is that about?
What?
I'm going to cover my dog's ears right now. Kelly, you can't listen. Oh, I forgot.
I'm going to cover my cat's ears,
she's
too.
She's deaf anyway. So
no, you don't need cats. Cats are too tough. In all seriousness, we have a ceremony called Wokila. It's a thank you ceremony, and Sundancers do that, and it stems from pre-reservation times when protein was protein, and you would get meat however you could, and we actually do eat dogs, but it's only under certain circumstances. It's not like, oh, yeah, you know, hey, grab that dachshund over there, you know, we're going to have dogs tonight. It's actually done in a very humane, very sacred way. But out in Indian country, we're called dog eaters, and we have like 101 dog jokes. You know, like one of my favorite ones is, what do you call a chihuahua on Pine Ridge?
A chihuahua on what?
On Pine Ridge, on my reservation.
What do you do with the chihuahua?
All right. What do you call them?
Yeah, what do you call that?
A chihuahua?
Yeah, chihuahua.
Oh, well, I mean, what are you doing, making soup?
Cup of soup.
Cup of soup? I thought you were going by these short ribs.
No, not to put them in a bigger pot.
I didn't know if you were roasting or stewing or soupping or braising.
What do you call a puppy wagging his tail on Pine Ridge? A happy meal? You know, it goes downhill from there. You know.
Oh,
did
Lord.
You get that, Rob? What do you call a dog wagging its tail? A happy meal.
How did this go like this? Isn't this Vietnam when you do the dog with the dog thing?
Well, you know what a BLT is, right? Black lab on toast.
Oh, my God. What are you going
right.
with this?
You got to do it then. I love this joke. It's my favorite Indian joke, and I actually used it in the book Cedar Woman. Okay?
Which one?
Now, at this point in time, I think it's important for me to say that we are not laughing at Native Americans. We are laughing with them
no.
and celebrating their humor.
Oh, yeah. No,
I love my sister dearly. But
our
my favorite is, let me do this to Rob. I got to do this. Rob?
Yeah.
How many Indians does it take to change a light bulb?
No. How many Oglalas does it take to change a light bulb?
Oh, that's right. See, I'm messing it up already. Okay, how many
Oglalas
does it take to change a light bulb?
Okay. Just remind me what an Oglala is first. You've got to remember.
Okay, I'm a
white guy. I don't
know
a lot of this stuff.
There's seven groups in the Sioux Nation. We are all Sioux. There's what we call the seven campfires, and I'm one of the Lakotas. I'm a Oglala, which is my specific linguistic group is the Oglalas.
Right.
We live on timers. Yeah.
So how many Oglalas does it take to change a light bulb?
How many? How many?
Seven.
I'm going
to
say
one to change a light bulb and six to sing changing the light bulb song.
Yeah, seven.
The thing that changed the light bulb song.
Yeah, you know, actually, you know what? I met up with Yeah, we really do. No, we really do.
Come on.
I met up with
sing an Indian song.
An Indian song?
Yeah.
Which one you want?
I don't know. What do you got? Just tell me what it's saying first so I have an idea what's going on.
Chante Washte Hokshila Nagayashnima. Let me think. Ahe, hello here. It means that my good heart boy, close your eyes. It is time to go to sleep. It is nighttime, time to go to sleep.
Oh my God. Don't do that.
That's the song, yeah. It's a lullaby. It's a little song I used to sing to my kids.
We also have 49ers. I love the 49ers.
Yeah, we have 49ers. There's 49ers are like snagging songs. It's songs that you would sing to, you'd sing after the powwow when you're hanging around, having a good time, stuff like that. We do what we call 49ing after the powwow. We have songs that are for snagging, like white people, they hook up, Indians snag. We
and
have
that means
songs.
Trying to pick up somebody.
Yeah.
We use that
just
a little bit, trying to snag a date.
Yeah. We're snagging. God, I haven't been snagging in years.
Catch one in your web.
No, you try to catch one and it's like, They always try to snag me because I got my clinic teeth, I got a full set of teeth. They always love me, you know what you say to a pretty girl from Rosebud? What do you say to a pretty girl from Rosebud, Rob? If you wanted to compliment somebody, you'd say, nice tooth.
This is great. This is like battle of the Native Americans here. We're going to have to get someone from somebody from the other one there to come
get
in.
Like
and
a crow or somebody, yeah. You know, that's a true story, very true story. I was at a powwow about 10 years ago, and my husband and I actually have a teepee, and we had it up. We have this 18-foot teepee. We put it up. This guy come over and he's eyeballing the teepee and he's talking to us, and he says, yeah, he says, I noticed you got a teepee. I'm like, oh, yeah. And he says, yeah, you're Sioux, right? And I said, yeah. He goes, oh, yeah. And he tells me this, some Sioux joke, and I came back with, yeah, another true story. We were back up in Scenic with my cousins, and this white guy come in and he had this monkey dressed up like a grass dancer. And they're the ones that kind of look like walking moths. And the guy starts pounding this song on the bar. And this monkey starts snacking. I'm like, holy man, would you look at that? I mean, this monkey looks good. So in Indian country, if we like the way somebody dances, we throw money down in front of them, usually a couple bucks or something. So I threw a couple bucks down.
Nice.
My cousin threw 20
tobacco,
down.
Right?
I have to bust out my pole.
Exactly,
see what happens.
Hey. So my cousin throws a 20, and the guy, is like, hey, I understand your tradition of honoring dancers, but I can't take 20 bucks from you. And my cousin says, yeah, you can. He says, I can't help myself. Damn crow kids, they're just so damn cute when they're little. Turns out the guy I was telling the joke to was a crow Indian. My husband's a white guy, and he wasn't too used to Indian culture yet. And he's like looking at me like he just wants the earth to open up and swallow him. I'm like, okay.
Speaking of powwows, I'm going to break in here quick. I'm going to get our sponsor in here real quick, and then we're going to come back and talk more about powwows, which is I'm learning things left and right here. I love this. I love it a lot. So let's get back to that right after this word from our sponsor. It's a buyer of goldandsilver.com, upstate New York. He's the most honest guy you're going to find. He's going to pay you full price, and he's going to tell you don't send the stuff in to anybody, even him, because he doesn't want it unless he sees it and he knows what it is.
A buyer of gold and silver jewelry, and jewelry is celebrating 3 years of paying the highest cash payouts around for unwanted gold and silver coins and jewelry. Don't settle for low pawn shop prices and don't take your items to a fly-by-night hotel event. Come and visit our showroom and get paid the highest cash payouts for your unwanted gold and silver coins and jewelry. Looking for great fun? Book a free karaoke gold party today with a buyer of gold and silver coins and jewelry. located at 1121 Glenwood Ave, Oneida, next to Cash for Cans Bottle Return.
There you go. How do you like that idea? So you used to have to, when you would do these parties, right? Usually it's the girls doing the parties. They'll do this, whatever, pampered chef party or something like that, right? And you're always like, your money's going that one direction. It's going into the hands of the one who holds the party. This guy has a party up in upstate New York. He tells you, look, let's have the party. You buy your pots and pans for too much money. But guess what? If you bring some stuff with you, some gold, silver, some jewelry, maybe it'll pay for itself, the party. So kind of cool idea. Again, he's in central New York. This is going out all over the country. So if you do want to visit his site, it's a buyerofgoldandsilver.com. Now, back to powwows. That reminds me of powwows.
I want Jules to tell us one thing. Well, Spot, I'm sorry, Kuwela, I keep calling you Jules. There's one thing I did want her to talk about. I don't know if you've noticed it, but have you listened to her laugh?
Have I listened to it?
Yes.
Why?
It's very different.
Is it distinctive?
It's very distinctive.
Well, maybe if we're lucky and we do
she's
something
holding it
funny,
back
we'll make
right
her
now.
Laugh.
Because you're going to hear it a lot, you know, as we go through these shows and even tonight. And so I just thought, I just want you to talk to people about your laugh because it is so distinctive. But it's distinctive in the Native American community.
White people, when they laugh, they're kind of ha 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 ha. You know, no offense to white people. I mean, I'm mostly white myself. I'm three quarters white, so you know, obviously. I am three quarters white. I'm one quarter Indian. Oh. I don't know what the hell happened when they were mixing the recipe. Somebody got it wrong. I'm telling you.
One thirty-second Seneca. She called me a dog eater.
No, you're
cannibal.
Go ahead,
I'm sorry.
That's a big difference.
So when white people laugh, it's like, ha, 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 ha. When Indians laugh, they're like, ha, you know. And there's usually a hand clap or you hit somebody. And, you know, I have an auntie that you know, well, there's this one guy. His name's Ron Bernstick. And he's a Native American comedian, and he's on YouTube. And I was playing this video. My son's like, Mom, it's you. Because, like, I clap my hands and I throw my head back and I'm like, ah! And then I kind of lean over and laugh. And,
She'll knock you off your chair.
Oh, yeah. And then you get, like, the elders, you know, with these really big, beefy Indian guys, you know, and they're like, they wheeze and they kind of bounce. They're like,
they're wheezing like a leaking tire.
And they just have a leaky tire and they're bouncing the whole way, you know. And then you get the ones that don't have any teeth, so they got their hand over their faces. They do it, you know. It's just, I love the way Indian people laugh, you know. It's totally, we get right into it. We're not afraid to laugh. I mean, it's like, you just got to know Indian people, you know. We're not afraid to laugh at ourselves or anybody else.
So that's why I wanted you to talk about it, because, you know, within a people, you will often find that the people with the biggest, with the deepest sense of humor and really able to laugh at themselves and at life crises are the people who have gone through great trials. Like the Irish can really laugh and really poke fun because of what they went through. The Jewish nation is very good. I mean, look at Hollywood and our comedians. I mean, give me a break. Jewish people, because of their trials and tribulations. And so the Indian Native American community is capable of great humor, and when they laugh with their whole body. I'm telling you, she throws her head back, and that's not what this laugh, then she goes to the wheeze, then she hits you and almost knocks you off your chair. I mean, when she laughs, it is like complete.
I'm laying over you at that point, you know,
complete.
And I'm pointing the whole time.
Complete.
I'm pointing at what's hilarious the whole time, too, you know, and my friends, like, they don't get near me when I'm laughing. They're like, oh, yeah, you're dangerous. You know?
Put on your...
You move, you get away, or you kind of walk over two steps. Okay, it's coming. Yeah, there it is.
Put your helmet and bubble wrap on. Spot's laughing.
My sister Sharon makes it a point every time. And she's, I love my sister Sharon. Every time I go up to Des Moines, she makes it a point to make me laugh, just because she gets such a big kick out of watching it. She's like, I just love the way you laugh. I'm like, yeah. All over him at that point, you know. I got a 6-month-old knee. Great niece, and they're pulling her away from me, you know.
Hide the kids.
Hide the babies. Spot's laughing.
Hide the kids.
Don't take me into ceremony and make me laugh in ceremony. I'm like, wait a minute. Spring ceremony. What's wrong with you people?
Well, I got Rob off the subject of powwows. I know he really, really, really wants to know about it. But
yeah,
before we talk about it, okay. I do want to emphasize a point. I've been to quite a few powwows now. And, in fact, my son was the ugly man at the last one, which it's called a broom dance.
That's not nice.
Yeah,
Well, you got to know the story.
Yeah, legend has it that a young man couldn't get a girl to dance with him, so he fashioned a woman out of straw and danced with the straw figure. And before long, the other guy was trying to snag his woman from him. And that
the guy
involved.
Was really hard to look at. I mean, the guy was really hard on the eyes.
Yeah.
It's hard to look at him, you know.
Is in danger of being
made
in
soup.
He was hard
to look at. He was that bad.
Yeah,
he
in danger
really
of being made
to
in
get.
Soup. A real dog.
Yeah, he was really ugly.
I have one question about that.
So now it has evolved into the broom dance where the ugly man gets into the center of the ring and the couples circle around him and they dance around him and he tries to tag the man. It's the woman's place to block him
from tagging her man. Yeah.
So if he does manage to tag the man, then he becomes the ugly man and he gets to dance with the girl. Well, my son had the honor of being the ugly man, which we felt very honored that he was asked to do that. He also retired as the ugly man, so next June he has to be the ugly man again.
Yep, he has to come back and defend his honor.
So,
you know what
fun.
That story made me think of?
What?
That story made me think of one thing. It's like, I swear to God, it's like you're peeking in my windows when you tell that story.
Uh-oh. You didn't know.
Rob, you weren't supposed to tell anybody.
We're on that little scaffold where the window washers up on that Manhattan panel.
Oh, you're the window washer
out there.
I see you. I'm waving to you.
Remember, Rob, we had a deal. You weren't going to tell him about that. Come on now.
I know. Damn. Oh, well.
I just wish you put something decent on. I mean, those Speedos just aren't right.
Well, you know, I kind of thought they were sexy myself, but, you know.
It's my studio, damn it, and I'll dress how I want for the show.
You know,
it's my studio, and I'll dress how I want to.
Something about white guys and chicken legs just get me every time I call them.
Why don't you make him some St. Bernard broth?
Bullion.
Beef him up a little.
Dude, you need
vibrant.
Yeah,
that's what I need. I need to put weight on all the time.
Yeah, you don't have enough vitamin G in your diet. You need vibrant, man.
Need more coffee.
Well, anyway, I've been to a few powwows, and I've noticed that some powwows are boycotted, and some people get their churches to ring bells so that they drown out the music.
Come on.
Well,
so I want to point out
that. It's non-Indian people that claim that are purport, you know, self-proclaimed Christians or whatever. Usually, it's self-proclaimed Christians, and this has been at several powwows that I've been at, where they seem to think that we're God-fearing heathen, you know, godless heathens, and you know, our immortal souls are in danger. And the reality of the story is that a lot of Native people are actually walk to Jesus, or they actually are Christians. And I've been at powwows where they try to, and as devout as you're ever going to see. And these people come and try to disrupt our powwow, try to disrupt our ceremony. And to us, it's like a fiesta, it's like Irish Fest, it's like Greek Festival, it's a family reunion for Indian people. For us, it's more than just, you know, getting together and dancing to these heathen songs.
Festivals, you know. It's celebrating the music, dance, food, and culture of your ethnic group. It's also
family
big family reunions. Mm-hmm. And also, what I have found very impressive, which I have not seen at least so far at any of the other festivals, is they routinely, many times throughout the day, honor their veterans.
Oh, yeah. Veterans are a big thing in Indian culture.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure. How about what was the one story with the Indian coder? I forget that one, but that was a good one. We learned that in the Navy, we learned about that. Did you know that?
Yeah, the Navajo code breakers or code breakers.
No,
it
wasn't just the Navajo Nation that did that. I actually have an uncle. He's gone now. He made the journey to the spirit world. But he was a code talker. He actually spoke in our traditional language, in Lakota. And the Germans figured out our language.
They couldn't figure. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep. And that was right around the same time that we actually started breaking the German codes, because we got the movie U-257. They got that off the boat, and then they started working with the Indians, I guess Navajo, you say. I didn't remember which.
Yeah, Navajo, but, Shoshone, Sioux, Cheyenne, all the Indians have distributed.
And this is the thing, what I'm saying. Like, first of all, we weren't exactly nice to you guys when we got here. Well, I'm going to admit that right out of the bat. We weren't that great when we got here. But the thing is, we founded this country so that you could do your own damn thing and people could mind their own business.
But,
so,
now, Rob, explain something to me. Explain something to me. How on earth could Columbus discover America when we were already here? Is that like somebody breaking into my house and discovering my neighborhood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. If he sticks a flag in it hard enough, it's his fault.
Oh, yeah. I mean, is that,
No.
Same thing, isn't it? So, I mean, to us, that's the same thing. You know what I mean? To us, it's like, you break into my
first,
house. And
first of all, Columbus was lost. Does anybody remember
Columbus
got lost?
Was stupid.
Columbus was completely lost.
And if it wasn't for Indian people, white people would not have been able to survive on what we call Turtle Island.
This is why we call it Thanksgiving.
America.
We should be thanking the Indians, the Native Americans at Thanksgiving. We should be doing all the other stuff we do.
We don't celebrate Thanksgiving. A lot of Indian people do not celebrate. No, we actually we don't
give
to us.
Why? You wish you had a star, right?
Hey, Coelho, I'm wondering when Columbus showed up and all this stuff, what did that do to property values?
Yeah, it was the neighborhood, you know.
It was the neighborhood.
Yeah,
I'll bet you couldn't get a half what you used to get for a good teepee.
Hey, how many dogs do you think they can get for this teepee over here? Now these white guys are here, you know. Yeah, you ain't getting nothing for that one. Jeez, what's wrong with you? You know, all these white guys around.
See, all these abandoned lodges, with the entrance boarded up.
There's one of my absolute all-time favorite cartoons is these two Indians standing at Plymouth Rock, and they see the Mayflower on the horizon, and the one says to the other, do you think they'll stay for dinner?
Oh, my God.
Whoops.
My other all-time favorite one is Gary Larson, and it's this ring of grinning Indian guys, and it says Custer's last view.
Oh my God!
Custer's last view.
Okay, I didn't hear it. Okay.
That's a girl. It's a circle of grinning Indian guys.
Yeah.
You get it, Custer's last view.
Yeah. Once I heard it, I got it. I don't know what happened. I couldn't hear the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my ears are as old as I am.
I used to wear that one at powwows all the time.
Well, we still need to get into powwow. I got us off track because I started joking around. I tend
See
to
what
do
happens
that.
When you get me started?
I haven't had any coffee, so,
oh,
you know.
Wow. Imagine.
So I don't have a fire break going. But you know what? I thought this would be fun since we're heading into powwow, the fall powwow season.
Yes.
That
fall powwow.
You just talked to us about powwow and a lot, because I think there are a lot of Wasichu, white people, who want to come to powwow, but they are worried that they will not be accepted or that they will do something and make a faux pas, you know, do something they shouldn't do. So, you know, just tell us how to get there and enjoy it and be respectful.
Yeah,
How often do you do this?
I could powwow every weekend all year long if I really wanted to. I could travel. I actually have family members that do this. They travel all over the country, and they powwow every weekend, and they actually make their living doing that. All powwows are open to the public. Some of them are for specific reasons, like AIM, the American Indian Movement, has specific powwows, or it could be, you know, whatever reason that it's a closed powwow. But if the powwow is advertised as open to the public, do yourself a favor. Dress respectfully. Don't wear hot pants and a bikini top. I know, Rob, I'm sorry. I hate to do that to you.
You got
to
wreck everything.
You
got to
change your speedos.
Saturday night gear. Your Saturday night gear, I'm sorry.
All right. I'll be respectful, I promise.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, respect yourself and dress respectfully.
Sure.
Number two, if you see a blanket over a chair or on a bench or something, that's usually a sign that space is reserved for somebody. And, you know, don't go snagging that spot. That's somebody else's area.
Okay.
do not enter. Okay, they will tell you usually you can take photographs now or please no photographs. And usually during the flag song, which is like the American Indian, that particular nation's national anthem, we have flag songs that we sing. And it's like an honor type song. We ask that you please stand and remove your cover. If you're wearing a hat, please remove your hat. And you know, respect it just like you would the national anthem.
Sure.
We ask that you do not take photographs during the invocation, during the veteran songs, or during flag songs. Those are sacred times. Those are sacred things, and we ask that you respect that sacredness and not photograph that particular time. But other than that, they'll tell you, oh yeah, you know, you can take pictures now or whatever. Unless, if you hear it's an intertribal, please feel free to get up and go dance. Intertribals are open to everybody, Indian or non-Indian alike. We would love to have non-Indian people come out and dance with us. It's our way of sharing our culture with you. And it's a respect thing. You know, you say, hey, you know, come out and dance. Okay, you know, go out there and do it, you know. Or if somebody asks you to dance.
But not barefoot. Not barefoot.
We do ask that you wear sandals or shoes or something like that. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, Ralph.
You guys are tough, Ralph.
it's a respect thing.
Sure.
Do not touch our regalia. Actually, that's another big pet peeve of mine. We don't wear costumes. You wear a costume on Halloween. We wear regalia. And a lot of these items have been handed down through the generations. I have a dress that's older than I am that I finally had to retire. I did wear in Sabrina. Oh, yeah. And I have eagle feathers that are older than I am.
And actually, regalia tells a story, a history of the family.
Yeah,
so it's not a costume.
Well, not so much anymore, but it used to be.
So
yeah,
it's like you're wearing your family heirlooms kind of a deal.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you retired your grandmother's dress, right?
Yeah.
I did, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, well, yeah, sorry, Rob.
Different kind of dress, Rob.
The style of dress that I wear now.
How old is
it? This dress is actually only about 6 or 7 years old. The original dress is older than I am, and I'm in my 40s. I'm in my early 40s, and this dress is actually older than I am. But I have things on my dress, the two dresses that I wear now that are older than I am, and I have eagle feathers that I wear that are older than I am that have been passed down through the generation. We do ask that you do not touch our feathers or touch our hair or touch our outfit, our clothing, without asking first. There are some people that are very superstitious, and to us, that's respecting, you know. You don't just walk up to some white person and touch their hair and say, oh, I just love your hair. You know, you just don't do that. And
I don't anymore.
We don't like it. Well,
and another important
point,
I don't feel my mind jumping in, but I was just thinking of this as a Wasichu coming in. If you see someone dancing and a feather drops on the ground, do not pick
do
it up and run over and
up.
Say you dropped
do not.
It.
Do not.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Do not
see,
that
there's an actual
to
ceremony
because,
to retrieve the feather.
Yeah. Eagle feathers are considered to be very, very sacred. You don't just go and buy an eagle feather on a local corner store. You have to earn one. And if you drop an eagle feather, that's like dropping the American flag. And it's that same level of seriousness. You don't drop that feather without...
Don't try to buy them either.
Because your instinct is to touch the feathers. You know, when you're a kid, your instinct is to touch the feather and say, oh, look how cool it is.
Exactly.
Well,
it wouldn't be like me trying to disrespect.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and
so that's good to know. That's a big thing to know right there.
Another
and it's illegal for us to own an eagle feather if we are not.
That was any raptor feather, any bird of prey. It is illegal for a non-native person or anybody that does not have the proper federal paperwork to possess those feathers. The last time I checked, it was like $5,000 per feather for the fine, and I forget what the jail term is. But they crucify you for it. Yeah, I mean, they'll crucify you for it.
I think it's five years, too.
Yeah, ignorance is not an excuse. You can't say, well, I didn't know. You know what? The feds don't buy that. Honestly, I've actually had family members go to prison because they had feathers without the proper documentation.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there actually is a suit in the Supreme Court now. White non-Native people, white people, have brought suit against the federal government to have feathers for religious purposes. That has not been settled, so if you have them, don't talk about it. I don't want to know. Don't go run into your friendly neighborhood Indian and say, oh, yeah, guess what I've got. We don't want to know.
Well, that's the thing. We have a eagle up here in upstate New York that we see once in a while. It's very, very cool, a bald eagle.
I'm very lucky. I live in an area now where we have a lot of bald eagles.
Really?
And bald and golden eagles. I live along the Mississippi River corridor now. Bald and golden eagles are not threatened or endangered anymore, but they are still under protected status.
Exactly.
All birds of prey are considered to be protected species. And it is illegal for any non-native person or anybody without the proper documentation to possess any parts, feathers, live or dead. They will crucify you for it.
And
Sharon,
I'd like
hide
to
all
make
the feathers.
Don't do it.
All right.
I'd like to
I'm
make
sorry?
Another
tell my
point
wife,
here, too.
I just I'm had to sorry. Tell my wife to hide all my feathers, guys. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'd like to make another point here, too. The reason Native Americans, registered Native Americans, are allowed to use the feathers is for religious ceremonies and because of their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
So the government respects
their
religious beliefs, so I think everyone else should, too.
Oh, absolutely.
We
like
it.
I say, that's
we
what this country's
it.
All about. Respecting other people's beliefs. Come on, guys.
You got to be a white guy because I'm telling you what, if you're Indian, it's a different story. Another true story. I was up in Rapid City. One of my family members was having a baby. She was pretty sick. There were a lot of complications, and the Indian clinic could not handle her. So they had to transport her to a hospital that had the facilities to deal with it. And, you know, I'm obviously the white pebble on a black sand beach. I stand out. I have light skin, green eyes, brown hair, and I could very easily pass as full white. And so I'm with all these Indian guys, right? We're on the elevator. And this white woman must have been in her 50s, saw us getting on the elevator. And I kid you not, she clutched her purse to her chest like we were going to, you know, knock her down and steal her purse. Dashed up against the wall of the elevator and scoots along the wall looking at us the whole time like we were going to just rape her right then and there. And as she was getting off the elevator, I kind of grabbed the doors and I pulled them back open, and I said, "Hey, lady, it's all right. We don't mind sharing the elevator with a white woman." And boy, did I get a dirty look. But, I mean, that actually does happen. That has happened. I've had a lot of people say
really?
Very racist
Are you
things.
Kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Even today, I get
racist. Is it because a lot of people don't live that close? I mean,
because
we have an Indian reservation right here, like 5 minutes away. It seems absurd to me.
I think it's because of Hollywood. Hollywood
Indians
standing there going.
How do I know? You know, how come I? What's the? I mean,
because
maybe a lot of people don't live near reservations. But maybe that's what.
Well, you know, in South Dakota is a totally different. South Dakota is a totally different thing. I mean, South Dakota, you know, you're dealing with, and I'm not knocking all South Dakotans. Obviously, I'm from South Dakota, and I love my home state.
Sure.
But you're dealing with a lot of people that still believe that, you know, the whole General Sheridan thing where he said, nits make lice. You got to destroy them all. You got to get them young and you got to destroy them all. And you still have that same mentality out there. You still that's true. You know, you're dealing with
21st
century.
I know, I believe you. I'm just saying it's so ridiculous, you know. I can't understand.
You're dealing with
21st
century because, you know, it's the same thing that's happening with Muslims. You know, you pick any ethnicity, any race, and you vilify them, and it becomes so easy to do. And in our case, that just never stopped because Americans, you know, knew that by coming here and taking our land and killing our people, I think that I'm not saying that white people should be deported back to Europe or whatever, but I think that, you know,
that to me.
That would be nice.
Throw me
in jail cell. Send me to Europe. Oh, my
God. That would
God.
Be a twist. That's what they suggested they do with African Americans, just ship them back. So wait a minute. They're born here. They're American citizens.
Yeah, I mean, you're all Americans.
Yeah.
The same as I am. But I just have to
well,
you're an American.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
I
think I speak on behalf of the average white guy, right? Okay. So that's the role I'll play today. But I think that the thing about Muslims is, no, you can be Muslim. I have people, Muslims, living around in the neighborhoods here. I don't have a problem with you because of your religion. I just don't like the Muslims that want to kill us all. And there's a lot of them.
Well, you know what?
Okay, no,
that's just
okay,
like,
now.
Remember the Crusades? Does that mean that every Catholic person was bad? No, just the stupid Crusaders who felt they had a right to impose their feelings.
Now you're seeing it. Now you're seeing it.
Actually, back in the day, the religious people actually were kind of twisted because they were tied in with the king. So, yeah, back in that day, I would say a lot of people that were Catholics, especially higher ups in the Christian and Catholic, well, it wasn't Catholic, it was a Protestant back in England. But anyway, long story short, no, I think the whole religious thing was kind of twisted and evil back then because they sat around while the king was beheading people and everything else. They put up with it. They tolerated it.
Okay, but what gave you the right to come to my land, kill my women and children and old people, and tell me that I had to speak your language and cut off my hair? Tell me that I had to speak your language and your language only. I had to give up my traditional way of life. What gives you that right?
No, you're right. I'm agreeing with you. I say people should be able to respect other people's religion. And however, they're like I say, it's not Muslims that are doing it. It's radical terrorists. And like
example.
You said,
just an example. Yeah. Well, yeah, and then you get into
there's Christians.
Into
there's
the
Christians that are radicalized in the United States.
Oh yeah,
Christians who attack. You know, I mean, they're everywhere. Don't get me wrong. But for some reason, in the Middle East, where the predominant religion is one thing, there's a lot of them, those guys that want to come get a meeting. Not just me, you guys, too. All of us. They don't care who they get.
I agree with you.
But I know what you're saying. Everybody's religion should be respected.
Immigration. And my thing is, you know, you white guys sit around and cry about illegal immigration. Really?
I don't.
I know. That always got me, too. Hello.
I had an argument with somebody the other day about that. Really? You want to talk about
it? You know what, though? Back in the day, most of our grandparents came through in the legal process. They came to Ellis Island. They went through paperwork.
Yeah.
They got all their stuff documented. And then the guys on Ellis Island changed all their names, which there was kind of a human little joke they were playing
on. That actually happened to me. My grandfather is here. And the family name and the family story about how they came to be here. And I'm like, really? You know, seriously, really and truly, really? Okay. You want to talk about illegal immigration, huh? Well, yeah, the original name was a German name, and they changed, they anglicized it. And
They liked to do that back then.
They anglicized my name to be Bloomer, and I'm not sure about the original German version of it, but I know that they anglicized the name and changed it over to Bloomer. And, and I'm like, okay, you're calling this legal? Really? What the hell have you been doing for the last 500 years? Really?
My French relatives came over. They were La Plante or something like that, and they became Plant when they came through Ellis Island. Yeah, you're Plant now.
La Plante's a big name. Mine was Contrimont. Countryman, and it later became Countryman, and that's where I was telling you, six generations in Southern Ohio. It was right after the Revolutionary War. My ancestor fought in the Revolutionary War, and then fighting for our freedom because someone didn't have the right to come and take our land. Hello,
really now?
Yeah,
you can tell me my land that I took from someone else.
I stole this fair and square.
I stole it fair and
square. I took your land fair and square. Suck it up, buttercup.
But I think most Americans now are aware of the fact that that was the wrong thing to do. But unfortunately, it's the way it happened. It just happened.
It was the way it went down back then.
And we can't go back and rewrite history, but we can try to right the wrongs.
I don't expect anybody to, and honestly, there's no way to write that. There's no way to change that now. You know, 500 years later, it's too late.
Exactly.
No,
what we can do is, you haven't seen my time machine. Jules makes a lot, or Spot makes a lot of jokes about Native American teeth, and that's because the dental care is so poor. You know, so we need to get something going where people have decent dental care and health.
Well, even just basic health care would be unbelievable because I don't know there is. You know, you get. Like the Teach for America project, where you can sign up and be a teacher for a certain period of time. We have a program where you can come out. You will help pay your medical bills. You have to be a doctor on the reservation for a set period of time, and this varies from nation to nation, reservation to reservation. But basic health care out there is so poor. There's a running joke. I have some friends down in Yuma, and they have to go to the hospital in Fort Yuma. The joke is that, when you get ready to die, you go to the Indian hospital or you go to the Indian clinic. basic health care out there is.
Now, I have a question.
Sure.
What is the, because, again, I don't know how this works. I'm sure that the situation is different from state to state, but the Indians up here are loaded rich.
Well, now, see, it depends on if you have
but
a
they
casino.
But they have the Turning Stone Casino.
See, we
you
have,
know, and that's
we have,
worth more than the whole
Prairie
all
Winds.
Of our land up
here. Yeah. We have Prairie Winds, and our casino is so small and so out of the way that really our casino doesn't bring in any money to our tribe. Out in South Dakota,
oh, really?
Where we are, there's no infrastructure. There's no infrastructure.
Oh,
there's no...
It's
no,
isolation,
yeah, it's just isolated. There's no infrastructure out there. The road systems are very poor. Unfortunately, nepotism is very common. So if your family is on the tribal council or is somehow affiliated with the Bureau of Indian Affairs or something like that, you're pretty well off. You're pretty well set.
Okay.
But if your family is not associated with them, boy, look out. You're in trouble. Gunner, back.
Well, nepotism goes across the board.
Sure.
Well, I mean, that's not
oh,
no matter where you go.
Everybody
still.
Does that.
Oh, it is.
Say,
oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's worse with Indian people.
Oh,
yeah, it's
oh,
a lot
wow.
worse with Indian
I'm kidding.
People.
Well, what about, well, why couldn't we get like up here, the Indians up here, why couldn't we get them to do like a program where if you have a place where there's reservations that are more secluded and they don't have proper medical care, why couldn't we get these billionaires up here to like help another, you know?
Because each nation is sovereign. Each nation is considered to be a sovereign nation into itself.
You tell me they won't help the guys that don't have medical
no.
care?
No.
Come on.
No, because they're not. It's kind of almost xenophobia. They're not us. You know?
Really?
Yeah, not us.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. Uh-huh. But I don't know. The guy
yeah.
up here, I mean, they give a lot of money to charity, and they do a lot for the community, so I don't
yeah.
understand why they
yeah.
wouldn't have some kind of cross.
What
would you call it? Like a cross?
Cross tribe or cross
tribe
nation.
Or
yeah,
cross
tribe or cross nation.
No, I guess
yeah,
right.
and they just don't. They just don't. I mean, each nation is considered to be a sovereign nation into ourselves, and we just don't.
Each one?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought
oh,
it was like,
yeah. well,
like don't you have like one kind
too.
Of thing that represents all Native Americans in Congress or
no.
something like that?
Nope.
Nothing?
Well,
nope.
stop
nope.
to think about this, though.
We have NATO representatives.
I'm sorry. When you go to Europe, that would be like trying to get the Belgians to join, you know, and glomp them in with the French and then glomp them in with the Swiss and then glomp them in with the Austrians and glomp them in with the Spanish
yes.
just because they live on the same continent. So
now,
different
actually,
Native American nations were
I mean,
different
they,
Native American nations. Just like
I mean,
the Belgians are different from the
Europe.
Germans. And the,
yeah, they do have the European
why.
Union, and they do kind of put money into one pot.
Now we do have representation with the UN. We do have each sovereign nation has representation with the UN. We
really?
Also have we have to deal with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Skipper, we do have to deal with the Bureau of Indian Affairs with the tribal government.
Going out over there.
sorry, I'm dealing with horses and. Feeding time and all that. So.
That's all right. That's cool. It's fun to hear stuff in the background whenever someone's talking.
No, I'm talking to the horse and he's fat. And my friend's meeting Skip for the first time. And it's just kind of funny, you know, Skip meeting a new person and loving all over and drooling on her and all that. He's like a big dog.
Okay.
And actually, our word for dog is Shunka Wakan. Or horse is Shunka Wakan, which means big dog or mystery dog. You know, when we first saw horses, we didn't know what they were. You know, all we saw were these great big things.
There's
and
one big dog.
Yeah, and we're just like,
so
what the heck?
Who's going to make enough soup for the month?
Soup for the month.
Well, I hate
all right,
to put
we
an
gotta
end
teach,
to this.
We got to teach. Go ahead.
No, you finish.
One last thing here before we get going.
Sure.
I want to
sure.
teach, I want me to learn one new Indian word, and I want to know which language it is. So just one more time, tell me hello, and what language am I speaking?
He got one. Hokola.
Hokola?
Hokola or ho or washtelo. Kind of a generic greeting would be Hokola. It means like hello, friend, or something like that. Or you could say washtelo. Washtelo, how's it going?
All right. We got to pick one word a week here.
So,
I got ADHD.
Probably Hokola would be the good one there to use. Hokola.
Hokola?
It means hello, my friend. Like Pepsi Cola, you know, like Cola.
Exactly.
Ah, okay. And what language am I speaking again?
Sioux. Lakota.
Lakota.
Sioux. Okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty generic greeting. Hokola is like a generic, how are you, or hi.
That's very good.
Every week I'm going to learn a new word.
A word a week.
So we'll go over last week's word next week.
A word a show, that is.
Sure.
Well, before we close, I want to remind everyone that among many other things, the month of October is National Bullying Prevention and Cybersecurity Awareness Month, so we will be addressing those issues. Rob, why don't you tell us what you want to do with the cybersecurity awareness education?
Yeah, I do a little bit. For each show, I do a little bit about cybersecurity. What I'm learning is that I say too much in big chunks, and I got to break it down in little pieces. So one thing we're going to do is I'm going to do like a series, and it's going to be just a few-minute tidbits about cybersecurity. One of the first things I'm going to talk about on the show tomorrow is about setting up a proxy server on your computer that will help protect you from the bad guys. There's a lot of bad guys out there, and we need to really focus on this because they're coming after the infrastructure now. The bad guys are starting to attack. We have at all the schools around here in town, we've got cybersecurity degrees now. It's really becoming something we really need to all take our own little responsibility on the cyber infrastructure. And so I'm going to talk a little bit. My background is cryptology and cybersecurity.
Cool.
So I know a little bit about it. So.
Yep. And then we're going to address national bullying prevention. I, for one, my son has been bullied, and I know my sister, my Kuela, her son Logan, who by Native American tradition is also my son, so I am his Ina, or mother, has also been bullied. You know what? If you want to talk, if you want to be a guest on the show and address it, send me an email at Deborah, D-E-B-R-A-S, as in Sam, Welch, W-E-L-C-H, at AOL.com. Or, Rob, you want to give your email in case they want to write to you?
Yeah, sure thing. It's rob.thrasher, T-H-R-A-S, as in Sam, H-E-R, at gmail.com, rob.thrasher at gmail.com. If you want to come on the show, you want to talk to us, you want to call in, whatever you want to do, give us a shout-out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Call in. We're hoping to make this month really count. And then tomorrow, Rob, we have Giovanni. I'm always having trouble with
Gelati.
His last name. Giovanni
Gelati. It's a hard name to say. A lot of vowels.
I just remember Gelato.
An Italian fella.
What a name.
He's an author, right?
Yeah.
He's an author and a talk show host. And
oh, yeah. He's got all kinds of things going on. He's going to be an interesting guy to talk to. He's
Indian names are hard to pronounce. Jeez.
Well, but Spot is going to be with us every week. She is part of the team, and she will be giving us her roving res reports.
Yeah,
and we'll
you know them buffalo chips. They're always on the roam, you know.
How did you get buffalo chips, by the way?
I'm the south end of a northbound buffalo, man.
But how did you get the name buffalo chips? I know you have quite a few names.
Because I'm full of shit. One of my uncles says I'm full of shit. No, actually, it's kind of like Body by Fryberd. We know that T-shirt I have that says Body by Fryberd because I'm round, hot, and delicious. Yeah, instead of a body, my favorite buffalo chip, you know, it's kind of round, brown, and on the roll.
Oh, boy.
Lordy,
well,
Lordy.
We look forward to hearing more nicknames as time goes by. Maybe some people will call in you don't want to talk to and have some nicknames.
And that'll be another interesting subject to address because people don't understand. People don't understand how Native Americans get their names, but they're actually earned.
You do have to earn your name, yeah. Sometimes they're hereditary and sometimes they're not, so, yeah. Might happen to be hereditary.
Maybe we should do that at the top of the show next week. We'll try to leave ourselves with something to talk about for the next week and everyone can think about it.
Because we're so afraid we're going to run out of things to say to each other.
Go figure, right?
You know what, dude? Would you put a robe on? You're still wearing the
Oh my God!
Yeah, I told you there's something about a white guy with chicken legs. I'm telling you, it just does it for me.
Yeah, but you like blonde pets, you know? That's just all there is to it.
My God. God, you've been working on that same window for an hour.
Yeah, hey,
a little obvious.
I want to make sure it's clean. Come on now.
You hear me? We're knocking on the window.
Yeah.
It's cold out here. I want some hot chocolate or something, but you got to put a robe on first.
Yeah,
and don't forget, Rob, that blinking red light up here in the corner there, don't worry about that, you know. Just don't clean that corner anytime soon, okay?
There you
go. It
took
me hours to install that webcam.
That's beautiful.
And I don't know what you mean about this Manhattan penthouse. There's some kind of flashing neon light off the left side of my peripheral vision. It's really driving me crazy.
Yeah, I know. What's that red light bulb over there for?
It looks like it says pizza.
easy.
Pasquale's Pizza? Or...
See that one over there that says girls?
And
girls,
a penthouse
girls?
Is more than two stories high, dude.
Girls, live girls.
That girls sign just kind of getting to me, you know. Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I got to take my stack of dollar bills and head out now. So.
Well, you want to give our sponsor one more blast?
Yeah, let's do that, and then we'll head out of town.
In the meantime, we're gonna get more coffee and Rob, and we're gonna make you put on a robe.
I'm gonna take up a position to make you put a robe.
Will you open this daggone window?
I don't like that glare there, you know.
They're gonna start a petition to force him to put a robe on.
It's all curtains,
man.
Oh,
all right. All right, guys. Well, everybody tune in tomorrow. I'm going to do this every Thursday. This is kind of our introductory show. And I'll be here in my skivvies.
Sure, one of them.
No cameras here.
Oh, no. You're going to go down to your skivvies?
Hey, listen. I got a perfect body for radio.
Right.
So. I got a face for radio.
I hope to God it's not Tidy Whitey's. I swear, I don't know if I can take it.
No, remember, he's got those pink ones with the big flowers on them, remember?
Oh, you know what? Okay, I give you permission to do this. You may wear the SpongeBob SquarePants underwear.
Very good.
That one's okay. But not
you're
the
still
ones
looking in my window, aren't you?
Not the ones with the feet. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, but I love the footy ones. Come on.
Well, okay. We're about ready to sign off. So, Jules, I want you to tell us, in La Cora, we are all related.
Natasha Yasin.
Yes, we are all related. And who was the person who came up with that? Black Elk, right?
Black Elk, yeah. It was one of my relatives, yeah.
Yes,
she's definitely related to me.
Those Crazy Horse and Spotted Eagle, correct? That's how she got her name.
Yep. That's a long story. Well, that's for another show, though.
Well, Crazy Horse, for Jules, that's kind of like a pay attention.
Yeah.
You telling me to pay attention?
Come on now.
Sorry.
She can be a little bit crazy.
We're looking forward to everybody coming. We're going to be back tomorrow again with Giovanna Gelati, and we are going to have some more fun, and we're going to have our Buffalo Chips Rowing Res reporter
with us
again to keep us, I would say keep us grounded, but I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, right?
I'm not sure that's possible,
before.
Dude.
Rob's going to drink
in
some coffee before, and he now has permission to wear his SpongeBob SquarePants underwear, but without
the
footy.
I like the footy.
I will make sure.
Come on.
I will make that happen.
And a
pot
of coffee.
Oh, we had a good time.
Oh, yeah, they got the drop bags, don't they, too, yeah.
I have a pot of coffee,
yeah, you got the ones with the back window on them, yeah.
What's up with those? I never understood that deal.
You need to ship him a mason jar of Res coffee, boy. That'll put out the fire.
Oh,
damn. That'll calm him down in a New York, pardon the pun, minute.
Right.
Too much Frederick, yeah.
Crunching on sugar cubes.
Yeah. All right, guys. I'm going to sign off for the night. I'm going to say
bye. All right,
guys.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Yep.
We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Hopefully, Hopefully tomorrow night we'll have more than one listener. We're going to send more than one person at a time.
Maybe six. We're going to go for six tomorrow. Baby steps, baby steps.
There you go.
Yeah. Equal opportunity offending here, you know.
Right.
We'll catch on.
Everybody gets offended on the show. Don't worry
about it. That's all good.
Forget about it.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Very good. I'm going to play the sponsor out, guys. Thanks for coming. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yep. Don't stop.
A buyer of gold and silver, coins and jewelry is celebrating 3 years of paying the highest cash payouts around for unwanted gold and silver coins and jewelry. Don't settle for low pawn shop prices and don't take your items to a fly-by-night hotel event. Come and visit our showroom and get paid the highest cash payouts for your unwanted gold and silver coins and jewelry. Looking for great fun? Book a free karaoke gold party today with a buyer of gold and silver coins and jewelry. Located at 1121 Glenwood Ave, Oneida, next to Cash for Cans Bottle Return.
Now, because that commercial was made for a local audience, you go to abuyerofgoldandsilver.com. That's Greg's website. He's a great guy. Listen, one of the things you're going to find is that I don't talk about anyone. I don't have co-hosts or guests or anybody who I don't believe in and I have some sort of synergy with business-wise or what have you. They're all part of my network. So nobody's going to come in here and say, hey, I want to sponsor your show. I'm going to say, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. We know these people. We know Greg over at buyergoldandsilver.com. He's really an honest guy. I actually saw him do a deal at a business event out near Syracuse, and I didn't even know who he was at that point in time. And he was telling me how he did the deal, and he gave the guy something like 90%. He actually bought a fork at a business event. My first idea was, what's going on with this guy? He bought a fork? I'm like, why'd you buy a fork from the guy? And he explained. He said what percent silver it was and how much it was worth, and I think it was worth something like $50, and he gave him $45. I said, wow, that's kind of a slim profit margin. He goes, yeah, but I'll still make money, he goes, and I just help the guy out. Nobody sells their gold and silver unless they're in a real bad way. So he's a good guy, and he's really trying to help people. Thanks for coming, everybody. Co-hosts, thanks for coming in.
Had a good time.
Tomorrow. All right, thanks a bunch. We'll see you tomorrow.